We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm going to start going around telling people things I won't do, even though they're obvious.
Okay.
Like, I will not give up my Mets season tickets. I will not do that. I will not stop rooting for the teams I root for. I will not quit my job and leave the country. I will not do any of that kind of stuff. Just like James Dolan said, I am not selling the team. Doesn't bother me when you chant it, but don't listen, you can say
I'm not doing it. I'm not.
It's not happening. Before we get to Mark Feinsohn, I retweeted something I don't think you'll appreciate. Let me ask Feinsohn. Mark, hey,
yes.
Kim and Evan, how are you?
I love the fact that we're starting this with something
one of us or both of us may not appreciate.
It's so funny, but I just don't know. Are you a wrestling fan at all?
I stopped watching wrestling in about 1991.
All right, forget it then. Basically, it's an image from Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker kind of laughing and staring at each other.
Okay.
And a former WWE writer and a big Met Knick fan tweeted, Jeff Wilpon and James Dolan, when Mets and Knick fans beg them to sell the team, this is my never-ending hell. And it's these two wrestlers just laughing at each other.
Is that the same Undertaker who was around in 1991?
That's correct.
Wow.
How about that?
That's impressive.
But I thought that was a very good tweet by Brian Gerwitz, who was a former writer for the WWE, and he's a big Met and Knick fan, where the two fan bases are right now dealing with this, the pain of the fact that both owners won't go away.
The Undertaker is 54 years old.
That's right. He's very old. You can't tell by looking at him?
Well, I would be careful about saying he's very old. 54 is not very old.
Okay, let me clarify.
He's been in it a long time.
Let me clarify. For a professional wrestler.
Well, yeah, and he's 6'10".
He's a big guy.
Is that possible?
Sure, he's the Undertaker.
I'm right. Yeah. Anything's possible.
Come on, Kim. He's the Undertaker.
I lost my mind. Anything's possible. It's the Undertaker.
Mark, there's a lot of baseball stuff to get to. Let's start with what you have heard about the ownership stuff. Obviously, it's caused a lot of anger here in New York that the Cohen-Wilpon deal is crumbling before our eyes. Have you heard anything that maybe this deal could come back together, or maybe there's another buyer that can save Met fans from the Wilpons?
I think the potential for another buyer is probably the best hope for people who would like to see the Wilpon sell. This deal certainly seems to be as close to dead as dead can be without officially being dead. But you had the commissioner of baseball today on the record coming out and saying, I don't foresee this transaction happening. So, if he thought there was a way of saving it, he would not have come out and said that, and yet he did. So I think this is probably finished in terms of Steve Cohen. Or I guess Stevie, is that how you pronounce it, right?
Thank you.
I'm a listener. So I think, in the short term, I don't think this has much of an effect on 2020, right? I mean, this wasn't going to be a transfer of power for this season. So, in terms of how a Met fan should look at this upcoming season, I don't think anything changes. It's more what was going to happen 4 or 5 years from now. But look, now that billionaires across the country know that this team is potentially up for sale, maybe somebody else does come out of the woodwork and decides, you know what, I'd like to own a baseball team. That would be fun.
Mark Feinsand, a.k.a. Sandy, and one of my good friends. That was going to be my next question about what is next, and not meaning May, June, or July, but meaning the longer play here. Because in my mind, and I know you'll correct me if you think I'm wrong, the Wilpons have now kind of declared their long-term plan for the Mets, which is 5 years. Now, could there be some wiggle room there? Of course. And we're learning now that perhaps the details of that changed, and that's why this deal fell apart. But they have now sort of laid plans for a 5-year plan, during which time they will have someone come in and they will also then leave at the end of that period. So what happens now to that timeline?
Well, if there's no new buyer, then there's no timeline right now. I think until they find somebody who's willing to come in and sort of play ball under those terms, nothing happens right now. Now, this can change with a new potential bidder who says, I don't want to wait 5 years. I want to take over in 3 years or 2 years, mm-hmm. at which point the Wilpons would have to decide, is it worth selling the team knowing there's a shorter term, or we're going to hold to this 5 years and wait until we find somebody who you know, who's willing to go under those terms. So, you know, this is all totally speculative at this point without knowing who that potential buyer might be, and sort of whether they're willing to watch other people run a team that they will eventually own for the next 5 years.
I say this with peace and love, and I understand we'll never get him on the air again. Ernie, I'm warning you. Rob Manfred is proving to be a terrible commissioner. I'm sorry. I think the jury is now in on Mr. Manfred. Not even going to get into the statements he made about the Wilpons. Of course, they did nothing wrong. But this guy actually says with a straight face, the Tampa Bay Rays two-city idea of playing in both Montreal and Tampa is a good idea. I mean, I honestly, whether it's the Astros cheating scandal, whether it's his comments about the Wilpons, whether it's the fact he's trying to ruin the sport with some of the stupid rules he's coming up with, I mean, this guy never says stuff that any of us really believe. I mean, there's no way he could actually believe this is a good idea. Right, Mark?
Well, I'm going to preface this by saying I work for MajorLeagueBaseball.com. So,
okay. Fair. I didn't say you're a terrible commissioner.
No. But, you know, I certainly am not going to sit here and bash the commissioner of baseball. But that said, I actually disagree with you on some of this.
Go ahead.
I thought the Astros thing, and we discussed this the day it all happened, I think, you know, you had to, in order to get the information, you were going to have to give immunity to somebody. The players, if they didn't have immunity, weren't going to give you any of the information, and then your investigation was nowhere. So I understand people saying the players are skating on this, but I don't think that this was a light punishment. The manager and the GM both got fired, and the team got docked many, you know, top draft picks.
The one thing, let me just preface my issue, and this one I can understand you saying we just disagree on this. I have no issue with that. I like that. I find that the report is complete. I don't believe that. I think there's more to some of the other stuff that's out there, and I could understand why Major League Baseball wanted out there, whether it's players wearing wires or whatnot. And so as a fan, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical that we've heard the whole thing, but I will agree that I thought he did come down hard on the organization, and I agree he wasn't going to get anything without getting information from the players. I'm just skeptical we've heard the whole story.
Well, I think we've heard the whole story that the people were willing to discuss. And, you know, you can't force somebody to tell you something they're not going to tell you, right? So if players on the Astros are willing to go into detail about the trash can banging and the video system and all that, you know, in their minds, they're probably saying, I'm giving up my team here and I'm letting it, you know. Now, do you think Jose Altuve was going to come out and say, oh, yeah, and by the way, I was wearing a wire? Or Alex Bregman was going to say that, or George Springer, or anybody else. I think, you know, if they got whatever information they got, and that's all you can go by. So I can't kill the league on that. The Tampa Bay Montreal thing, look, I think we all think it's really crazy, right? I mean, the idea that a team's going to split its home schedule between two different cities. But I think right now the situation in Tampa Bay, you know, and I've been around that team a lot during my years covering the Yankees, and I've gotten to know a lot of people in that organization. The way it is right now is untenable for them in terms of, you know, the ballpark, the revenue, et cetera. And then Kim can back me up that I love Tropicana Field, so
yep.
I'm not going to bash the Trop at all. But I understand from a revenue standpoint, it's not a good situation. They're stuck in this lease for another 7 years, I think it is. And right now, MLB and the Rays are trying to find any way to make this work one way or another, whether it's half and half, whether this is just to put pressure on St. Pete to either build them a new stadium or let them out of their lease or whatever it may be, whether this is setting the stage for them to move to Montreal. There's an end game here. I don't think anybody looks at, and this is just my own personal speculation, I don't think anybody looks at the Tampa Bay Montreal thing and says they're going to do this and this is the way it's going to be for the next 50 years. I think they're trying to figure out what's the best way to make this franchise successful moving forward, and they're trying to get creative.
Sandy, I want to go back just for a minute to the stealing of signs and that whole thing. I know we don't move past things, and this is big enough that it will be remembered and used as examples and live forever. But have we generally moved past it in your mind, or is there a new chapter to come as this season unfolds for obvious reasons?
Well, I think the Red Sox investigation will bring this all to the forefront again. If I'm Alex Cora, I'm probably pretty worried about what that investigation unfurls, because if it was proven that he basically brought a new scheme to Boston, if you thought they came down hard on Hinch and Luno, that's going to be nothing compared to what Cora is going to get. And I've heard some people speculate 2 or 3 year suspension. I've heard some people speculate. I think, Evan, I think you were one of the people right off the bat who said they could ban him for life. And yeah. I don't think it's crazy to think that. Because if you, you know, were the mastermind behind the Houston scandal, and then after the commissioner issues this, you know, pretty stern warning, cut this out, this is not going to be taken lightly going forward here, and then you bring it to a whole other team the following year, oh, and you win the World Series to top it off,
that's
a bad look. So I think the Red Sox thing, and I think I saw some comments from the owners' meetings today where Rob Manfred said he's hoping to have this wrapped up, you know, before spring training, which is a week from now. So we could hear a lot about this in the next week, and then we're going to be talking about this as the top story all over again.
No doubt, because they got to hire a manager. I mean, they still have that duty to figure out. And this trade. So here's what I'm curious about. We all assumed 2 nights ago or last night it's done. Mookie Betts, David Price, Verdugo, Gratterall, Maeda, the three-team trade. Is the physical of Gratterall, is that something that can easily be fixed, or is this trade in danger of actually crumbling?
Well, the people that I spoke to today said they don't think it's in danger of crumbling completely. There is a slight, slim chance that could happen, but in all likelihood, it will be resolved by either the Dodgers adding another minor leaguer, or the Twins adding another minor leaguer, or perhaps subbing out somebody for Gratterall or putting somebody in addition to Gratterall. Clearly, I don't think this is going to go through as it's been reported the entire time. The physical situation, the medicals on Gratterall were apparently alarming to the extent that the Red Sox were not willing to just sign off on it. But everybody that I've spoken to still believes this will go through. Betts and Price will be Dodgers. You know, Maeda, in all likelihood, will be a Twin. I guess the only thing that could come apart is if the Twins don't have a prospect that the Red Sox find suitable. I guess the Maeda and Gratterall part could be out, and the Dodgers could put another prospect or two in to go to the Red Sox. But I think the Dodgers want to, you know, getting rid of Maeda as part of this deal for them of bringing in Price. So I imagine that the three teams will work it out and figure it out. But obviously we're here, what, almost 48 hours after this all broke, and the deal's still not done.
Sandy, this is Mark Feinsand, by the way, MLB.com, great columnist there, and has been a great writer and columnist throughout his career. Sandy, when you look at an offseason that went about as well for the New York Yankees as it could have, you know, how celebratory should the Yankee fan be in what could be the demise of the Boston Red Sox, at least in the short term and as we know them, without Mookie and with a lot of other things going on, including, as you noted, the upcoming penalty?
Well, I think, cautious celebratory mode would be appropriate, I think. You know, teams like the Red Sox, teams like the Yankees, when they go into a quote-unquote rebuild, they don't usually – these are not five-year plans. I don't think Chaim Bloom is now going into a five-year plan where the Red Sox are going to, be an also-ran for the next 3 or 4 years, and they're hoping that by 2024, 25, that they're back on top. When you have – remember, the Yankees made such a point to reset this luxury tax threshold to get that tax rate down to the minimum, and then they went out and signed Gerrit Cole for a whole lot of money.
Right.
So I think, you know, the Red Sox were looking at being over the threshold a couple of years. The tax is getting big on them. They know that whether it was for Mookie or somebody else, there were going to be some, you know, some big contracts potentially in the making in the next couple of years. And they didn't want to be paying 50 cents on the dollar additional to what they were already paying. So we've seen teams do this. The Yankees were able to do it. This wasn't a rebuild. The Yankees' rebuild lasted 6 weeks, right? I mean, they traded those three guys in the summer of 16, and then, you know, they were in the ALCS in 17. So I think the Red Sox have a good core of young players. They had a couple of pitching contracts that got a little oversized and didn't deliver on what they had hoped in Eovaldi and Price. Remains to be seen what Sale's arm looks like for 5 years. But this isn't a team that's all of a sudden going to become the Detroit Tigers. So for 2020, yeah, I think the Yankee fans should feel good about where they are compared to the Red Sox. But I don't think this is, you know, plus they've got a really smart executive in Chaim Bloom who's been helping do this on a shoestring budget in Tampa Bay, who all of a sudden has $200 million to play with. So long-term, I think the Red Sox will be fine.
You might have just answered it with the last part of that answer. Do you think Bloom has any remorse here? I mean, he is sort of the one seemingly completely innocent person in all of this who now has to put some of these Red Sox pieces or a lot of these Red Sox pieces back together.
I think he probably looks at it as a fun challenge, if nothing else. I mean, he's going to take a hit in the immediate future of, you know, when he has to stand up there and talk to the press in Boston, or I guess in Fort Myers, about this trade and how it went down and everything else. He's going to be the guy up there, you know, sort of taking the punches in the papers and on the radio and everywhere else. But I can't imagine. Chaim Bloom's a really smart guy. I can't imagine that he interviewed for this job and didn't know that this was a possibility, right? So I have to think he came into this knowing there's a good chance I'm going to take this job and have to trade our best player within the first 3 months of having this job. So I think this wasn't a blind side. I think a lot of fans in Boston are going to look at this as John Henry and ownership saying you need to trade Mookie Betts, not Chaim Bloom coming in and saying I'm smarter than everybody and I'm going to win without my best player.
Yankee fans could look at the Paxton news negatively by saying, here we go again. This is 2019 all over again. The positive angle is they were equipped to deal with it. Jay Happ, Jordan Montgomery, they've got starting pitching depth. What was your reaction to hearing the surprising news of Paxton needing to miss 3 to 4 months with this back injury?
Yeah, it certainly made a lot more sense that Jay Happ hasn't been traded. You know, I think we all were expecting Happ to be traded all winter once they signed Cole. But knowing now that this Paxton injury goes back as far as late September, it makes perfect sense why Cashman held on to Happ and as an insurance policy that they're going to have to cash in here for April and May, it seems like, if not into June. So, yeah, I think they are well equipped to handle it between Happ, between Montgomery. Eventually they'll have Domingo Germán coming off suspension. So they will have enough pitching to handle it. If you've got Cole and Severino and Tanaka up top, I think, you know, they'll be equipped to handle whatever they need to.
Sandy, understanding that there is a question now about Paxton, when does he return, that kind of thing. That aside, do you have a biggest question about these Yankees? Because they seem pretty complete and they seem pretty equipped to be playing deep into October.
They do. I think the only question that I would have doesn't have to do with anything before October. I mean, obviously you wonder, is Severino going to be Severino again? Because if he looks like the guy who finished third in the Cy Young a couple years ago and you're putting him behind Cole and all of a sudden Tanaka's your number three, that's a pretty great combination. And I think come October, that's going to be pretty lethal to deal with. You know, last year we saw in the playoffs, some of their great late inning relief guys were just spent. And they used them a lot over the course of the year. Not that they overused them, but they used them a lot. And, you know, I think if you can get some depth from your starters, if you can have maybe one or two other guys step up in the pen just to eat, not the eighth and ninth inning, but just some of those crucial innings, and you can keep Chapman and Britton and Kainley and Ottavino and Green relatively fresh going into the late part of the season, this is going to be a really hard team to deal with. I just wonder, is that going to be the case? Are those guys going to be fresh come October? Because they are such an important part of what they do during the 6 months of the year. But now Aaron Boone's going to have this thing in the back of his head of you have to make sure they get enough rest and that come October, they're not just running on fumes.
Mark, appreciate it. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Sandy.
You got it, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Mark Feinsand, MLB.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.